Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet. Welcome to another Tadpog podcast. It's a show that happens twice a week where two old guys talk about old games. This week, we kind of waffled about what we wanted to do because we were talking about doing Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic off the Eventually list.
Right.
But it turns out that trying to play two games that take like 30 hours each in a week after Shadowrun Returns isn't really something that's doable.
I mean, it's doable. It would have been doable I feel like that would have been doable for us 15 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Or in college when we just skip class or whatever.
Exactly.
So, something that you've been wanting to do for a while, we went ahead and said, well, let's play it and do it. So, this week...
You're already putting blame on me. Like, well, you wanted to do this, Dave. You wanted to do this. So, we're doing it.
It's all you. All you.
So, if this turns out to be really bad,
I was like, gee, I don't know, Dave. Maybe we should do this game. We're going to do the game, Tyler. It's going to be great.
If this is another Leather Goddesses of Phobos, Dave, it's completely on you.
No, it's a good game, Chippendale's Rescue Rangers. Or it's not Chippendale. I'm saying that like it's possessive. It's Chippendale Rescue Rangers, not Chippendales.
We should know this.
Or do they own the organization? Like, together, it's Chippendale's Rescue Rangers. Or is it their title, Chippendale, and they are Rescue Rangers?
Are they franchising it out? Chippendales,
they should.
Rescue
like,
Rangers.
Other like battle scarred chipmunks come to help them. We're from Rescue Rangers Anchorage. Shit's bonkers up there.
It is Disney's Chippendale : Rescue Rangers.
Okay, all right. The double possessive with the Disney.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, no, just Disney's. It's just Chippendale, no possessive.
Okay.
They're not franchising. They're the only one.
The only ones. Not Gizmo and Zipper Monterey Jack. Not really Rescue Rangers, just only Chip and Dale.
Gadget, you mean?
Gadget, who did I say?
Gizmo. The Gremlin.
Yeah, shit. But first, before we break down that, I'm your beard host, Tyler.
What's up, Tyler?
And today I was thinking about like words, how words have changed. I just think about words.
Yeah.
You know, I was in my garage pacing around, just thinking, doing like some Shakespeare shit, just making up words I'm going to start throwing around.
I was in a real like 3-year-old state of mind.
I was like laughing at cups, you know. I was hanging out with Kendall. We were just putting stuff we found on the floor in our mouths, just whatever. It's fine. No, what I was thinking about how words have changed to me, how my vernacular has changed over the years.
Okay.
Words that I used to use and now I don't use, or vice versa.
Okay. Do you have a list?
Well, I do. I mean, poon won. I'm trying to bring back poon. So I've already thrown poon out there.
Right.
Poon, I'm fine with.
Did you
as long as it's in a... I would use it in more a derogatory term when I was younger. But now it's a humorous word.
Wait, give me an example of you using it as a derogatory term.
I bet her poon stinks.
All right. So it wasn't like, shut up and it's sit down, like, you dirty poon.
That's a glorious poon, my lady. Like, that's not happening.
I would love to hear an 8-year-old child say that.
Like, I would love to have Phil Hawkins have his son call in and say that. We would love to have that happen. But poon, fine. For a long time, For a long time, I was anti-boner.
Like, what?
Boner was good for a while,
yeah.
And then I dropped off of boner for a while. I thought it was just a stupid word. I didn't use it anymore.
Was it because of the kid in Growing Pains?
See, I didn't really watch a lot of Growing Pains, but I just thought it was stupid until I heard it again on Reno 911, and it made me laugh, and it brought the word completely back. I was pro-boner again.
Do you know why you were anti-boner for the longest time?
I guess I thought it was, maybe I was thought I was too mature for boner, so.
It was played out.
It's like, mother, I'm far too mature for boner now. Please. So boner is fine in a joking context. I can't say it in a sexual context. I don't think that's ever really been a thing.
Man, maybe in the 60s, right?
Man, give me a boner.
Look at this boner.
Feel this boner. Feel that boner pressing against your hip. Yeah.
That makes me wonder when that word came about. That had
or it had to change definition because it used to be like a mistake.
Yeah.
So then now.
Pull a boner?
Now it's a penis.
Mm. Also a mistake. Mm.
And another word, I used it a lot when I was younger in everyday use and sexual use. But now, and virginity thief Taryn, if you're listening, I'm going to go on a tangent about the term you do not want to hear. So you can either zone out or deal with it. But I'm slightly agreeing with you.
The P word?
Yeah. I don't like pussy anymore. Out of context, that's a good stinger.
That is great.
But I used to use that that's what I would call it or say it in a sexual reference or anything like that. Dirty talk, it was fine. But now I don't like it at all. I don't feel like it makes, I don't think it's attractive and it doesn't make sense to me. Like, I don't know. It just, it's not arousing to be like, yeah, let me see that pussy.
I just got a little hard.
No, yeah. I just don't.
A little bit of blood.
Doesn't work for me. So yeah, I'm anti-pussy. Used to be pro-pussy, now anti-pussy.
Well, what
even
is
even when I call, even when I refer to it like medically, I don't want to like
doctor. What is wrong with this pussy?
Or like the girl who goes to the doctor. I don't know, my pussy hurting. You know, I don't like it anyway.
That does sound like something I've heard in the emergency room.
My pussy hurts real bad. He just kicked me in my pussy.
Is it supposed to look like this?
Is it supposed to look like smash eggplant? I don't think that's right for a pussy.
That's not good.
But yeah, I don't like using it at all. I don't like using dick in like a dirty talk or sexual manner. Dick is fine, like, oh, you kicked me in the dick, but not like my dick is so hard for you. No, it's basically,
it's got to be cock.
It's cock, exactly. Cock. If it's a sexual reference, it's got
to
be cock.
It has to be.
And then if it's a sexual reference, it's not pussy, it's cunt. So I know there
that's a risky move, yeah. My friend.
I know. I think there are, you know, there got to be guys who are strictly dick and pussy men, but I am a cock and cunt kind of guy.
Yeah. You sound more German.
you like cock and cunt?
Yeah.
You like it's all that Dragon Ball Shadowrun in Germany.
Do you pretend that you're a elder dragon?
Fire wings, cock and cunt. But also one that's been out for since high school. Like, I think after I actually started having sex, the word lost all reference appeal for me, which is screwing. I hate calling sex screwing. I used to do it all the time, like middle school. Did you guys screw? Did he screw her?
Yeah.
It's awful to me now. It's awful.
Yeah, I mean, why not just say fuck?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. At any age, I feel fuck is more appropriate than screw.
Well, you know, the kids now.
I mean,
the kids now are saying smash.
Smash?
Because St. Zach, when he came in, from, you know, all the younger kids at the helicopter shop, that's the new vernacular now. Is smash.
That's,
like, smash.
That's better.
Stab them guts.
That's not. But smash still has like, it's got a masculine feel to it. Like,
I don't like that at all.
I smash that.
No, I don't like that. I think that is like, to me, that is gross. Yeah. Like, that is gross. Because I just think of like, I don't know, like Gallagher or something, like coming down on a melon with a mallet. Like, I just can't. That is not like, I don't know. That just sounds like so, that like sounds too rough. That sounds too rough to
handle. Some girls are into that, so I guess it just depends on your girl if she wants you to smash it or not.
Excuse me.
Or wreck it.
Would you
smash it.
Would you prefer I smash you, stab your guts, or wreck it? I am a...
Screw you? Would you prefer that?
I am a young man.
Quite capable of all of the above. I mean, how, like, when I have Josh and Nicole on the show, I'd be like, all right, which one of these appeals to you guys the most?
Yeah.
Hey, did you guys screw last night? Hey, Josh, did you smash that last night? Or what I think is the worst that I have never been okay with, hey, did you guys scrog the other night?
Scrog?
Scrog was real popular in middle school.
Is that British or something?
I have no
scrog?
Idea.
Scrog?
I know a scrum is a thing in like rugby, right?
So, no, I don't know.
I don't know.
That sounds like a Urban Dictionary thing. Man, look at that. Oh, dude, that guy's got scrum all over his booty.
Why did you scrog some cunt to get that all over him? Ugh.
Maybe I'm thinking of snog. I think
Snog, that's making out.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah.
I don't know what scrog, I never heard it.
Scrog,
never
yeah.
heard it.
It's like, you guys been scrogging?
That's like,
yeah,
a,
it's awful.
It's like an orc name.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, that's how the Uruk-hai in Lord of the Rings mate, they scrog.
Maybe that's where it came from. We've got Tolkien.
Saruman came up yeah. with it. Dig deep in the mud and scrog me out some Uruk-hai.
I think that might have been the best sentence ever.
That's my list of words.
What's up, internet? I'm Dave. I'm your bespectacled host. Man, I feel like that was a really appropriate intro to have for this family-friendly child's game, Chippendale Rescue Rangers, which, I mean, that's great. That's kind of what we do here, by the way. If you're new, if you're a new listener, we kind of like, we take like 20 minutes where we talk about like the most profane things possible, mm-hmm. and then we talk about a game, maybe, for a little bit.
Depends on how much we actually played it or thought about it.
Exactly. So welcome to our show. I wish I would have known you were doing words. I could have come up with words too. I was going to talk about how cold it's been recently and how that does not really go well with how
your
impatient.
Knee.
Oh yeah. Well, you know about my knee. I've already talked about my knee and then, I mean, that still hurts. Let's see if I can't pop it, but it really doesn't go well with my patience, my level of patience. I actually used to think that I was a patient person. I was wrong. I'm not a patient person. I was completely delusional. I'm just not. And I know this because when I went to go and get my car yesterday to go to work, it was so cold, and we just had that fucking snowstorm and all that ice. So half of my car was covered in ice, and I'm running late to work because that's who I am.
Yeah,
because
it's a weekday. Yeah.
I mean, that's like
get it.
That's like ingrained in my DNA. Like that's just part of me. I'm just running late to work. And so I got to get to work at 8. It's fucking 7:55, so it's not going to happen. But at least maybe I can get there not too super late. Uh-huh. So the car is kind of iced over, and I just want to – I'm fucking lazy, of course. So I don't want to, like, scrape the windshield.
Yeah.
What I want to do is get up inside that car. I want to smash that car's guts and get it warmed up. Mm-hmm. So that it can just do its own thing.
Normally you do reverse. You get it warmed up and right. then you smash it.
Well, it depends. But it depends if you're scrogging or not. If you're scrogging, there's no warming up. So I decide that I need to get in this car and I need to get in quickly. So I pull on the handle and it doesn't open. I'm like, ow, it's fucking frozen over. I should probably just pull really, really hard on it. So I did that and it still doesn't open. It's like, well, I should probably just pull much, much harder on it. And I pulled on it and the fucking handle like exploded in my hand.
Oh,
like I'm fucking Sub-Zero ripping my car's spine out. Like I drive a red Celica and like now in my driveway, it's just like littered with the like, it looks like someone threw a red frag grenade in my driveway because my handle just, I mean, it just fucking burst. The frame all around the handle
oh,
just
man.
Shattered. So I just kind of like looked at it and I was like, man, I can either get upset about this or I can just harbor it inside me all day and go around to the other side of the car mm-hmm. where it's facing the sunlight and it's probably not frozen over, open that door, crawl through the car and open the driver's mm-hmm. side that way, which is what I did.
I was expecting you to say, and then I just unlocked my door and opened it up.
Man, if I would have, I need to start making shit up because like I am running out of intro stories. Clearly, I'm talking about trying to open my car door in the winter. This is like.
Next week, talk about that time you smashed those 12 girls in college. Just back to back to back. Each one as a different, you were role playing a different D&D character as you smashed each one.
All right, now I'm just. You can be my panther, girl.
Guren Hyverar.
So, yeah, I feel like I am like Simpsons season 15. Like I am, you were saying the other day that we're almost to 200 episodes. Like we have done a lot of intro stories. I have got to start writing material or these intro stories are just not going to be interesting at all. I like your words thing. I might steal your words thing next time.
Do it. I'll talk about that time I smashed 12 girls.
I mean, it was a horrible accident. We probably don't want to talk about that. I mean, you barely got out of jail.
No, I actually murdered 12 girls with a large... Like, I drove a white Bronco thinking I was OJ, and I killed 12 girls innocent bystanders.
Yeah, I remember your OJ phase. That week in college where you thought you were OJ Simpson.
I dressed like OJ, and you dressed like Leslie Nielsen, and we drove around cosplaying Naked Gun for a month. It was ridiculous.
Ridiculously fun.
Yeah.
I mean, except for all those murder charges. Thankfully, they didn't stick. Hey, we learned from the best.
Yeah. Oh, man. Just thinking about the O.J. Simpson case, I want to plug a show on Netflix I think everybody should watch, which is Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Okay.
It is very, very funny. It only got funnier as it went on, because it's about a girl who was part of an apocalypse cult and was trapped in an underground bunker for 15 years and then gets freed and is now trying to cope with the world, how the world has changed around her since she was like, went in as a 15-year-old, comes out as a 30-year-old.
So she comes out of Vault 101.
Exactly. And then it's a crazy show anyway. So it's not like they're trying to play it straight and she doesn't know what's going on. It's Tina Fey wrote it and created it. Mm-hmm. It's all her. And there's at one point
where it's got to be funny.
Tina Fey basically comes on as Marsha Clark with Jeri Minor as Christopher Durden. So that's what made me think about it.
My backup intro story, I'll probably never use it as a real intro story. It might actually be stronger than the car door thing, was to talk about, you brought up a show called Nathan For You, mm-hmm. which I think is hilarious. It is a show that it's on Hulu. It wasn't when I first heard about it, and I kind of forgot about it. It fell off the radar. And then you were watching it the other night, and I was like, oh, yeah, I've heard about this show. And it sounds like really like it would be right up my alley, because I love fucking cringe humor and like awkward situations. Like, I just think they're really, really funny. And that's what this show is all about. It is really fun to watch that show with my mom, because she she likes to explain why things are funny. Like, that's kind of like, that is kind of her thing. And it like, it enhances the show, because like the show is like kind of like awkward to begin with.
Yeah.
And then like her sitting next to me being like, it's funny because they don't want to pay the money. It's just the fucking best. I love it. And then like, I lose my shit every time. And my poor mom thinks that I'm laughing at the show, but like, I'm actually laughing about like this wonderful, just wonderful mutation, that this spin that she's put on this show. Yeah.
I can't imagine. My mom would just end up getting mad at the language or something like that. Oh, refuse to watch it with me. Yeah.
Well, I'll probably laugh at that too.
Although I feel like my dad has more patience with stuff like that, as long as my mom's not around. Mm. If she's around, then he's super uptight, but he'll be himself more when she's not around.
Yeah.
So like, I remember the hardest my dad has ever laughed was when my mom was not in the room and I was watching Ali G show, yes. Like the Borat clips with my dad. Never in my life have I seen him laugh that hard. Like, he couldn't breathe. He was making weird noises I haven't heard him make. So, of course, whenever she came on, then nothing was really as funny after that. So, after being married for 30 years, you'd think, like, jigs up, just roll with it, old man. But whatever. Whatever makes it work, I guess.
He has to maintain that facade.
I'm about halfway done with my cup of hooch, so I guess we should talk about Chip and Dale.
Still working on that hooch, huh?
Yep. I made a big-ass pitcher of it. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, you were drinking that stuff on Shadowrun.
Yep.
That's the same class.
Same class. I just reused it. I'm very green like that.
Did you dip your genitals in that glass?
That's what makes it hooch.
That's gooch.
That's good.
That's gooch juice.
Okay. Disney's Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
Can I ask a question right off the bat?
Yeah.
Just right off the bat. Uh-huh. Why are they Chip and Dale? Like, is that like a furniture joke? Or is that like, what came first? The furniture or the strip club? Like, Chippendale.
Oh, okay. Like, I was like, furniture? Chippendale. Like, okay, the strippers. All right.
Like, that's totally like a lame furniture joke, right? That like Disney came up, because like these two fucking chipmunks have been around for a while.
Yeah.
Because I remember watching some old ass cartoons when I was a kid in the 80s and thinking, wow, this cartoon is old as fuck.
Yeah.
So it's got to be a lame furniture joke, right? That is a piece of furniture, yeah?
I don't know. You lost me on that one. When it talks about like,
man, where's the
when
call?
Men pull their dicks out, I'm on board for that. Right. Chippendales. The other one, I don't know.
I'm looking this up.
But man, yeah, I get if it is an old piece of furniture, then you're right. That's probably what it is. Walt Disney had an old Chippendale in his office and then decided to name some chipmunks after that.
Well, the first,
although a chipmunk named Chip is still too on the nose, but whatever.
Thomas Chippendale. Here's a Wikipedia entry that may or may not have anything to do with this.
This is probably who it's named after.
Yes. Thomas Chippendale, probably born at Otley, West Riding of Yorkshire, baptized at Otley 16 June 1718,
okay,
was a London cabinet maker and furniture designer in the mid-Georgian English Rococo and neoclassical styles. Welcome to Furniture Cast.
And there's more. Like, I just think of cabinets as Amish looking, regular looking, brown or white. Yeah,
like, what degree of brown is it? Like, there's a scale. Is it dark brown or light brown? Is it white or black?
Yep.
Tyler, he in 1754 published a book of his designs titled "The Gentleman and Cabinet Maker's Director." The designs are regarded as reflecting the current London fashion for furniture for that period.
Okay.
And were used by other cabinet makers outside London.
How you see that? Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Let's talk about our dicks some more.
Okay. It could have been named after that. Unless Walt was a big dong fan and I didn't know when he went after.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. So far, so good. I feel like we're knocking this one out of the park. Except for that awkward silence that just happened right then. Yep. I feel like we're doing good.
So, Chippendale Rescue Rangers. Did you play this as a kid?
I'm so glad you asked me that question. Yeah. I've mentioned before, I think when we were talking about Ninja Turtles, that for a while, I didn't have a Nintendo. I didn't have an NES until my very athletic cousin gave me his and was like, here, nerd, I don't play this. I'm too busy playing football and
getting poon,
right? Scrogging. that's great. I took that NES and played the shit out of it in like 1989. So like up until then, I was very much a PC gamer, not by choice. So what I played was the DOS version of Chippendale Rescue Rangers, which is called, it's one of the villains. By the way, I have not seen Chippendale Rescue Rangers in a hot minute. Like, I probably haven't watched the show since I was 9 years old.
I watched one episode today.
And I wanted to do it. I wanted to. Was it on YouTube?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I just didn't have time. But there is, do you know the name of the scientist villain who has like the big glasses and like the red bozo hair?
I know who you're talking about.
It's like Nim, it's not Nimrod. It's like Nimnod or something like, it's something like that. But anyway, the game is on the PC, DOS version. You, infiltrate his castle and then you collect screws. Chip collects screws and gives them to Dale, who then off-screen gives them the zipper, who then also off-screen flies them to Gadget that she uses to build a flying device.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There isn't really a good setup to why they're building the flying device. I feel like they could have just avoided the whole castle and walked to where they were going and saved a lot of time. So that's the version of this game that I played as a child.
Okay, that sounds awful.
I got pretty good at it.
Yeah.
I could probably beat it in like 10 minutes.
Fuck. Okay.
I'm pretty good at finding screws to this day.
Yeah, you are.
It's a skill that I've learned. I can't scrog worth a damn, but I can fucking screw.
Because my cousin had this. I was a huge fan of the show. I was obsessed with the show.
Yeah.
And then, because I didn't have an NES. I only had an NES for like a week before I got an SNES. But my cousin had an NES long before I did. So we would play Monster Party and this a lot. and playing it like they do. I feel like they do a good job of bringing all the villains and even like one-off episode characters into the show, into the game.
I'm glad that you said that because I was curious when I was playing where I was like, that enemy looks familiar, mm-hmm. but I can't put my finger on it. So like they were pretty faithful.
Yeah.
Good.
There were a few I didn't recognize, like this centipede.
That's what I was going to ask you about, the centipede, because yeah. that was the weirdest boss.
Centipede, I did not. One, I didn't understand how he functioned as a boss, really. And two, I didn't recognize him as a character, like, at all. But before we do that, do you hear that?
Yeah, I do. I hear that. It sounds like that Chris Farley bit from SNL, where he's a Chippendales dancer.
Yeah, him and Patrick Swayze. Yeah,
it sounds like that. That's a pretty classic bit,
It's a solid. It's sad that just about everybody in that skit is dead now.
I did not know Patrick Swayze died.
Yeah, Patrick Swayze has been dead for a while.
Hold on. I need to take a moment and collect myself. How did he die?
Cancer.
Oh, well, I mean, that's not an exciting death, but I mean, I get it. Mm-hmm. That sucks. I didn't know he died. Yeah. I'm legitimately kind of sad now. Yeah. Are you sure? You thought Annie Potts died.
I'm positive. Okay. I'm positive Patrick Swayze is dead.
Should we look it up?
They called me to come check now.
I was a pallbearer. Me and Jonathan Landis.
That's our... I'll have you know, I was a pallbearer.
With David Carradine.
Jonathan Landis. Oh, fuck. Who else was I thinking of that was big back in the day? Fuck. Oh, well. I'll remember it like 10 minutes from now.
Yeah, it'll be great.
The guy from Little House on the Prairie. The dad from Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. I don't know his name,
Damn it.
I have a feeling someone up
I was a pallbearer at his wedding as well.
At his wedding?
At his wedding. I've had a cup of hooch, Dave. I mean, but you may as well be a pallbearer at a wedding, am I right?
Oh. Yeah, it's a gooch kind of night. Yeah, I do hear that. I do hear that funeral. That funeral train's coming. It's got the ghost of Abraham Lincoln on there. Saban's about to suplex that bitch. Mm-hmm. It's gonna get nasty. So before it does, I would like to take the opportunity to do a little segment that we like to call Dave Reads from Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Thomas Chippendale, Tyler. I had it, I swear. And then I looked up Thomas Chippendale, and now I don't have it anymore. So give me a minute.
Sure, there's a link going from Thomas Chippendale directly to Chippendale Rescue.
An ambiguation. Do you mean Thomas Did Chippendale mean? Video game? okay, let's see. Chip, I'm going to type this in as slowly as possible. Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. Okay, guys. Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, or as it's known in Japan, Chipu Tudero no Daisakusen. That was really bad. But anyway, it's a platformer video game developed and published by Capcom based on the Disney animated series of the same name. Originally released for the Nintendo Entertainment System in Japan and North America in 1990, it would later come to Europe the following year, as well as not good typing here, Wikipedia editor. As well come to Europe the following year.
That's how you say it over there.
Oh, okay. Well, I stand corrected.
As well come to
Thomas Chippendale.
As well come to my cabinet store.
Have you played my furniture video game? That's pretty much it that they go into gameplay. I can go ahead and read that because we're probably going to do a bad job of talking about the gameplay.
Yeah, yeah.
Chippendale Rescue Rangers, Tyler, is a platform game featuring single and two-player cooperative modes, allowing players to choose which levels to access via a map of various locations. I feel like they're being generous. It is technically a map, but it doesn't really show locations so much as it shows wooden signs with letters on them.
Yeah. Very poorly constructed.
Well, we're rodents. We don't have a lot to work with.
We need to go from B and go to C.
We haven't mastered the English language yet. Let's see. Each individual stage is set up as a side-scrolling action game where Chip and Dale can walk, jump, duck, and pick up objects.
Sound like they covered all their bases.
Yeah, this is very in-depth.
What are all, Jerry, what are all the things a chipmunk can do?
Well. what all?
Pick stuff up, are you sure? I've seen it. They all carry around little crates.
What else do they pick up, Tyler? You got crates. We'll make this a game. What are the four things that chipmunks can pick up?
Crates.
Yes.
Apples.
Not in the Wikipedia entry, but I've seen it with my own eyes.
It's hard for them.
Yeah.
They sweat a little bit. Stone that they climb on.
I don't see stone. Are you talking about the gray thing?
Yeah.
The gray box. What was that? I kind of thought it was like...
I thought it was just a rock.
But like when you pick something up and hold down, you get inside it. So how do you get inside the rock?
You're blowing my mind.
You know what I'm talking about,
no,
right?
I never did that.
You never did? Like when you pick up a crate and you hold down, you crawl up inside that box and use it like a shield.
Did not
yeah,
do
you,
that
you could
ever.
Sit there. You could sit there and turtle.
This game probably would have been a lot easier for me had I known that.
That's like those ninja flying squirrels. Oh, like you just duck up inside that box, man, and they bust it.
Oh, shit.
And then they die. And then you pick up another box and get inside there.
No idea.
It's really fun in that fan level, too, when you're like, because like, there's a level where there are fans that are just fucking blowing you around. Mm-hmm. You can totally pick up a crate, duck down in it, and it just like scoots you down like a little turtle going down a crocodile mile. What else can they pick up, Tyler?
Red balls.
Yes. Yes, that is on here. Red balls exclusively that you use to fight bosses.
Hmm. Yeah, why those bosses keep those red balls around, I'll never know. Shit, I can't think of anything else.
They say acorns.
Acorn. Well, that's like an item.
Exactly. I mean, that's a power up. That's not a thing you pick up. Clearly,
stars count and flower cards or whatever the fuck they are.
They don't mention that. Yeah, let's talk about those flower cards.
I don't know why they're there other than to glitz the game up a little bit.
Because they're like coins in Mario. You collect them and you get one-ups.
Oh, okay.
But
I just stopped fucking with it after a while.
It's weird because... it's an odd number. I think you have to collect like 300 of those flower cards and then you get an extra life.
Ugh.
And then like there's stars as well. There's star cards.
Yeah.
I think you get 60 of those and it gives you an extra life. It's like really, it's like, I feel like I'm playing a metric system game or something where it's like the numbers aren't exactly like, or maybe they
have. You have to get 17 stone worth of right. stars.
What is this, the empirical system?
Oh, man. But I like that because you start off one or two players, and they're active in the same screen together. And then even if you're one person, Chip or Dale, you get to choose. You don't automatically default to Chip if you're like one player or second player.
Which I would have been okay with.
Yeah, I was exclusively Dale. I know. Dale or GTFO.
And I think that's why we work so well
together. I feel
together.
Like that's in our relationship, you are Chip and I am Dale.
Can we pause the podcast and go get matching Chip and Dale tattoos right now?
Yeah, you don't already have yours? I got mine waiting for you to ask.
Where is it?
10 years ago.
I was hoping that I could get Chip on my right butt cheek and you could get Dale on your left butt cheek. And then when we press them together.
See, I was hoping ball sack. That way, as we age, they age with us. And then we smash them together.
Well, that's just weird.
And they're already furry. It's already a thing. It's great. I put a hat. You put a little hat on your balls, and I put a small white shirt on my balls. It's fine.
I want the jacket. Okay, the jacket and the hat.
Okay. I get the red nose.
We could do that right now.
Put the buck teeth and red nose on my balls.
So why are you a Dale man, Tyler?
I don't know. He feels like he is. If Chip and Dale were hands, then Dale is definitely the left hand.
Okay.
And as I am left-handed, I feel like he is. I understand, Dale, I relate.
I follow this extremely weird logic. Well, if Dale were a color, he'd probably be magenta. Mm-hmm. And magenta is one of the four processed colors. And if you put all those processed colors together and look at them with a loop, I feel like that's me.
Okay, I see that. I also understand this. When you say loop, I just see a Hot Wheels track. That's all.
That's what I meant.
Okay, good.
It is a professional tool.
You build a plastic Hot Wheels loop and look through it.
Yes, that's a requirement. That's like your thesis as a graphic designer.
Man, I wish when I was little and had those, like I would have been a Stargate fan, because I would have stopped playing with the cars and that loop would have exclusively been a Stargate that
for
I would
cats.
Have thrown stuff through. Through cats.
Open the Stargate. All right, that's the second reason we need to stop this podcast. I'll buy one of those on eBay. I'll buy one of those loops and we're going to fucking do this. We're going to reenact Stargate.
Collectively, we have four cats we can shove through this.
I feel like I have a complaint about the story a little bit. Believe it or not, it's a little flimsy. In the very beginning of the game, all of the Rescue Rangers are together and they're talking about their mission. Mandy's kitten has gone missing. So Chip and Dale are like, okay, we will look for Mandy's cat. Monterey Jack, we need you to look into those robot dogs that have absolutely nothing to do with this mission. Mm-hmm. And Gadget is like, I'll go ahead and scatter tools around. What the fuck, Gadget? What the fuck? Don't do that. You're probably going to get, you got kidnapped. You got kidnapped because you decided to, like, instead of giving us all the tools right now, we're all together, by the way, Gadget. You can just give them to us now. But no, you would rather just go ahead and hide them.
Ain't that like a bitch to make you work for it? She's got to give it to you, but she's got to make you work for it. Yeah. I apologize, soul sister, yard sorceress, Chandra, for my blatant misogyny.
She is used to it.
It was coming from a joking and loving place.
you must have seen me cringe.
Oh, fuck.
So she gets kidnapped by Fat Cat.
Of course, it's got to be Fat Cat.
Right.
See, how many villains do I really remember from that show? Well,
Fat Cat.
That's it. But I've since tried to play this game several times, and I would basically just barely be able to beat the boss of the first level with enough lives, and then I would die, and that would be it. And I would turn the game off and not touch it for another year or two until the day.
I was the same way, and let me tell you why. It is because of those fucking rats in the first level.
Oh.
Everything's cool up until those rats, because you're just fighting those robot dogs, and they're no big deal because they just move one direction. But those rats up in the electrical wires, when you go up to the telephone pole, they move like all sporadically. And that's when I discovered that if you hold down while you're carrying the gray rock, or I thought it was like a bolt or something, or like a nut or something like that. If you hold down, you can hide up in there and the rat will just walk over you and die. And then you can reuse that gray whatever the fuck thing it is.
Hmm.
So that's how I got through the first level this time.
Because I did it the hard way. It was maximum jumping and maneuvering to get over them. And
that is the hard way.
And a big gripe about this game is like the hitboxes for the enemies are enormous.
Yeah.
Enormous. So even if you clear an enemy, there's no like just barely clearing it. You have to jump way the fuck over it or you're hit. Period.
The pelicans are the worst.
Oh, God.
Like they are the worst example of my God. The pelicans are... Well, first of all, Fat Cat has shrunk the pelicans down to chipmunk size. let's go ahead and talk about that. Get that out of the
Fat
way.
Fat Cat is a collection of toy pelicans.
Right. And also kangaroos. I'd like to mention that you do encounter kangaroos with tennis rackets that serve tennis balls at you, but they're chipmunk sized.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a thing. Digest that. The pelicans, man, they're so fucking wide. They're almost impossible to jump over. And I didn't know that you could kill them for the longest time until I accidentally just happened to throw a crate at one of their legs. Like you have to hit their legs and that'll kill them. If you throw it at their at their body, they just catch it in their pelican pouch and spit it back at you.
Yeah.
That's also in the fan level, by the way, which has
incredible
maneuverability.
But I did have a bittersweet moment of nostalgia playing this game when I got to like the second stage and I saw those aliens that can take the shape.
Yeah.
Because I remember that is the episode I remember the best. Like I remember that. That's the one I went back and watched too. But I remember as a kid, watching that episode made me feel so weird. It was like that episode of Muppet Babies that I mentioned where like Gonzo is lowered down to like a tub of oatmeal by Miss Piggy. Like it made me feel weird as a kid.
Yeah.
This episode made me feel weird as a kid as well. And I think it was...
Like what kind of weird?
It's like a weird feeling.
Like a sexual awakening kind of weird?
It's like a weird like... I remember like a weird curiosity, kind of strange, grossed out, but curious feeling in my stomach when I was little because the aliens, what, like they love to eat this gooey creature that had like an eyeball?
I don't remember that. But I mean, you just saw it, so believe you.
Because that was the thing, like, they come to Earth, and their favorite snack is, like, this weird creature. And they, like, the alien that tries to impersonate Dale and Stay has, like, his ship. He has them in, like, his glove compartment to eat them. And he tries that when Dale gets back, and they have to try to figure out which one is the real Dale, they do it by presenting him, like, they lift the metal cover over a big plate of these, like, they look like jelly starfish with like a blinking eye in the middle.
Okay.
And the guy goes crazy and just starts eating them like crazy.
Uh-huh.
I remember like...
He goes all Garfield and Applebee's.
Yeah, exactly. On these weird like clearly living alien things. I remember like...
Yeah.
I just remember like viscerally just being so weirded out as a kid watching that. So seeing that again...
David Lynch wrote that episode. Little known fact.
That's the intro. That one's like Twin Peaks. It just shows the tree and then like Monterey Jack in the workshop. Monterey Jack in this game too, by the way.
Yeah.
Completely like, wow, what the fuck are we gonna do with Monterey Jack? Yeah, let's put him in some way. What can we do?
I don't know. Can he? What's his big thing on the show? Yogurt? Curd? Cheese. No, cheese.
That's it. Cheese.
Well, what if? What if he's not a playable character, but sometimes you find cheese in a big red box?
Okay.
And then something's got to happen. I guess he runs through a wall?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we put the wall like far away? Like you keep the cheese and use it later? No. Put the cheese
in the middle.
Directly in front of the wall. And then when you get it, then he runs through it immediately. So that way, like it has really no real purpose. We could have just had that wall open anyway, but we need to have him in the game.
Oh, so wait, you don't have to find the cheese.
No, it just stays there. It'll be in a crate in front of the wall that you want to bust open.
But wait, when Monterey Jack gets the cheese, he stops and eats it, right?
Oh, he just keeps, no, we don't have enough memory for that. Just have him keep running. Have him do that weird thing in the show where he's on his tippy toes and just walks toward the cheese. Even after he gets it, he still walks like that straightforward through a wall, preferably made of chain.
Or lattice, some kind of like lattice structure.
And Zipper also makes little sense.
Zipper is the invincibility power-up.
Yeah, he just like stands in front of you and kills everything.
Yeah. Why don't they just send Zipper?
Zipper, why don't you go do this thing? You're amazing and you can fly and are invincible. Uh-huh. Zipper, you do this.
Zipper, Chip here. You know how Dale and I like to take our lives at risk and just throw caution to the wind all the time? If you could just hang back and, I don't know, wait until we find you in a big red crate. That would be cool.
Just hide in there, and then we'll break you out, and then just go hide in another one somewhere far away. Like I would have been fine if this game would have come out now, and like I would have liked a Zipper DLC where you start over the game just as Zipper, so you're just invincible and you fly through every level immediately.
I think Zipper would be the pre-order bonus.
Yeah, beat the game. Yeah, turn it back in to resell it quickly. Uh-huh. Yeah, you're right. But watching the show and then playing the game, another thing, like I'm always intrigued. I like Gadget and the world of the smaller chipmunks. Their technology is basically finding creative ways to recycle human garbage.
Yes.
So that's what they do. They make, I mean, I always loved their airship. Uh-huh. Was basically a balloon with a container of bleach that has been hollowed out.
Is there like a roller skate on the bottom or something like that? Right?
For land. Yeah. I've always liked it. And their couches are pin cushions, like the little tomato looking things.
Yeah. It's creative. I like it.
But watching the show, they have a giant TV in the tree. I don't understand, like, what reuses of garbage gives you a perfect screen or electricity
that's
inside the tree?
Well, Gadget could probably run electricity to that tree. So let's just go ahead and get that out of the way. I see your point about the screen. Like, that's going to be hard to find.
Where did you get that? Where did you get a full 32-color monitor that you can just watch cable on, apparently? Because, on that Alien episode, Dale is watching old black and white horror movies about aliens.
Also,
and I guess it looks like the remote control, They do a fine job of that because it looks like a number pad off a keyboard. So that okay, that's fine. I'll give you that one. But everything else, I don't understand.
Gadget is truly a genius.
Truly
a genius. Mm-hmm. Where do they find all their little clothes? I remember thinking about that as a kid. As a child watching Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, I remember thinking, where do they get all this tiny clothes?
Because they still fight with, like, pencils right. and shit like that. So where's the disconnect?
Dale, I kind of get, right? Because he could have found that off, like, Malibu Stacy's boyfriend or whatever.
Okay, and,
like,
yeah.
Put that.
Or just a scrap of Hawaiian shirt cloth.
Yeah.
Okay, they poke two holes in it, wrap it around you. Okay.
But Gadget has, like, a jumpsuit.
And Chip has a bomber jacket with a zipper and, like, the fluffy neck and uh-huh. the fedora.
Yeah, he's kind of badass. Chip is kind of badass.
I guess, or it's a Trilby, right? I don't know the difference.
Yeah, or a, what? Yeah, I don't know the difference either. I think that says something about us.
I have
us.
Like no ranks in profession haberdasher, so I don't.
Mm-hmm. Isn't as a pie pot?
I'm more into cabinet making.
Yeah,
a la Thomas Chippendale.
London's finest. So hey, Tyler,
mm-hmm.
I feel like we've kind of shit on this game, but I liked it.
You know, it's.
I liked it.
As far as like games go, it's a solid platformer.
Yeah.
I think the being able to Chip or Dale and have two people play at once are its big, more unique features. Mm-hmm. Other than that, the controls are pretty tight.
Yeah. And I liked how when you, we talked about how when you pick up an apple, you see little beads of sweat.
Mm-hmm.
I like how the physics in the game worked because if you pick something up that was heavy, it had an impact on your movement. You would move slower and you wouldn't be able to jump as high, which sounds really kind of dumb now in 2015 talking about this. But like, I feel like in 1990, that was kind of a big deal because I'm having a hard time thinking of another game like Mario 2. You know, you'd pick up turnips all day long and it not really affect, you know, your movement.
Really the small one, the big one, or the POW block. Yeah.
Yeah.
The same.
So, I mean, I thought that was really cool. And I thought what was really neat was even when you picked up something that was really heavy, the controls still felt tight. Everything mm-hmm. kind of like this game felt really good. And I really appreciate that because as a platformer, that's like fucking rule number one. Everything has to feel like it is on purpose
mm-hmm.
Or else your controls are just going to go all over the place.
Because I feel like there are too many NES, especially NES platformers, where your character jumps incredibly slow or they'll jump after like
super high.
They stretch out. Yeah. They jump high and come down really slow. Like,
so you can't time anything.
Yeah. I hate that. It's just like it's boring and nonsensical mm-hmm. to me. So stuff like that that's more akin to Mario, I think it's a lot better. So this controls more like Mario, mm-hmm. Chip and Dale do. So I enjoyed that. The bosses were creative, but essentially did the same thing on every single boss.
Yeah,
you find this weird magical boss beating red ball that you pick up.
Throw
it'll
it
bounce
up.
Everywhere if you throw it right.
Yeah,
but
just go to the middle of the screen and throw it up.
Yep,
because
to beat
that's,
every single boss. Every single boss.
What did you think of Fat Cat as the boss?
Fucking Fat Cat is a damn cat.
Yeah.
He has claws.
Uh-huh.
He has a mouth. He has razor sharp
yes,
teeth.
Yes, he does. He's ready to come through that Stargate at any moment.
And what does he fucking do to fight you? All he does is just ash his fucking cigar over his desk. It goes in five different directions every time he ashes it.
Yeah.
And that's fucking it.
It's a magic cigar.
Oh my God. The other cat you fight before him is like, cause I don't know if it's supposed to look like Fat Cat in the casino, because there's another cat in a jacket you fight in the casino.
Who throws money at you.
Yeah, and it's like in this circle. It follows you wherever you move. So it's in at least, and there are spikes on the ground you have to avoid. So it's a little more tactics to it than fucking Fat Cat. Who just like,
stationary.
He doesn't move, he's stationary.
The only thing that moves is that cigar.
Flick, flick. Yeah. Flick, flick, same direction, same pattern.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. When I got there, I was like, Fat Cat has to have a second form. Nope. No, he does not.
Oh, I enjoyed the first boss because I enjoyed that episode, the cleaning robot thing.
Yes.
That was a very nice callback.
Yeah. That thing is in the DOS game.
Oh, is it?
For three stages, yeah. You climb a sprinkler system, like monkey bars, while the hands try to grab you. And guess what you get up there? Screws. You get screws and you throw them down to Dale, who's being chased by a dog. So, I mean, that happens. It's really not a bad game.
It's not. It has stupid elements in it.
Yeah.
But overall, it's a solid NES game.
I mean, I feel like this like did its job because it is definitely a game that was made for the fans.
If you're not a 30-year-old asshole,
right, exactly,
dissecting this kid's cartoon game for unrealistic accuracy, then it's a good game.
Okay, who lets a cat in a casino anyway? Am I right? I mean,
these lizards that have jackets and machine guns, they're running a tiny casino somewhere. So they call it G, and that's where you have to get to on the map.
You got weasels from Roger Rabbit? What the fuck?
Exactly. And then, like, well, whenever you finally get to the end of, like, A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Because the map.
Yeah.
AKA the map.
Because it's just, like, yeah, wooden signs that written on it. The ocean's right there, too. I don't know where you are. On this dirt road with all these signs on it. And then Gadget's like, I built a rocket. We could take it to Fat Cat.
Yes.
And so the rocket launches directly into space.
Straight up.
And then it comes directly back down onto a different part of the map.
Doesn't turn around.
No. Nope.
Like, it doesn't, like, it goes up, stays stationary, it just comes down. Like, the nose is still pointing up. It's pretty cool.
So I guess, I mean, I don't know if this came after Mario 3, because, like, I feel like they sort of like they wanted to rip it off, but didn't have the budget for the map because it's spaced like the levels are in Mario 3. And then when you take the rocket up and back down to the final level,
yeah,
then it's like Bowser's section in World 8 where it's just that straight line to the boss.
Right.
So it seems like it's mimicked after that just in a shitty, shitty way.
Yeah. I mean, man, the vitriol. wow. I did not expect this to be so dark. Because I really did.
Rescue Rangers should think it'd be dark. It's a pretty dark show.
I want
Darkwing Duck dark, but it's out there.
I want the gritty reboot.
Man, that would be, there are some episodes of Darkwing Duck that I think back on and just like, I can't believe I watched that as a kid. Like whenever the episode where Goslin wishes like she
yes,
didn't.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh
I know.
Man. She goes to like the Judge Dredd world where Darkwing Duck fucking snapped and just like runs this totalitarian society. Mm-hmm. Oh, good stuff though.
Did you ever play?
It was the Breaking Bad of our childhood.
Did you ever play any of the Darkwing Duck games? I say games. I only know of the Game Boy game because I had it as a kid.
I love the show, but I've never played a game.
Maybe we should do that sometime.
I agree.
Because I recall that as an excellent game. I'm curious how good it really was.
It's a good call. It's a good call. We should do that.
Rescue Rangers. I say fucking play it.
Yeah.
I say fucking play it. It's so not a long
game. Suspend reality
gate.
For a little while to have these chipmunks run around.
I have never heard you sound so crotchety.
Because I know I'm talking shit and it's ridiculous. Well, me talking shit about this game is as ridiculous as the game is on its own merits.
We just talked about Shadowrun, Tyler. That is, I think, less believable than Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
I could write a thesis paper over that argument. Oh, man. Do I have any more notes to say about this game?
I don't know. Do you? Do you have any achievements?
I do. I have two.
Okay.
My first one is Unzipped. That is, you beat the game without ever using Zipper. He just stays in those crates.
Okay.
And the second one is Alphabet Aerobics, and that is clear every single level. Because you can skip letters. You can go to harder levels and
with
skip.
Blackalicious.
With Blackalicious.
You have to play this game with Blackalicious. I also have two. The first one, I thought you stole from me, but you didn't. First achievement's called Zip Me Up. And in order to unlock Zip Me Up, you need to have two zippers out at the same time. What?
Oh, you can do
it
that.
It is possible. It is possible. Like if there, I can't remember what level it is, but if you just rush through it, like I did, because I was like, fuck it. You can get two red crates and you'll have two zippers at the same time, just killing everything.
Is there
screen.
A girl zipper? I feel like there was like a pink zipper at one
moment. Oh man, you are bringing back some shit. I think you're right, but I can't really verify.
That makes sense according to 90s cartoons.
Right.
That there would be a pink.
There's a blue
version.
One. There's a pink one. Yeah, because it's like the Noozles. There's a blue one, and then there was a pink one. Was there a Noozles game?
God, we're gonna have to make that.
Yeah, I want it to be a first person shooter.
Who's sitting on that intellectual property that we're gonna have to take? Where it's the gritty other side where you play that girl's dad trapped inside Ayers Rock and you're just fucking killing these noozles trying to get out.
I have a second achievement, Tyler.
Okay.
It is called Structural Damage at the Nance Household. And in order to do that, you need to find some cheese, give it to Monterey Jack, who will vomit all over the wall and then crash through it.
Okay.
That's a callback to Josh's story. If you don't know what I'm talking about, trust me, it's funny. Just
listen
laugh.
To all our episodes again. Yeah, just listen. You'll find it. Another thing I hate, this is kind of just what games of this era do, games where you can't scroll backwards.
Okay, yes and no. And that was a complaint of mine in this game, because some levels are like that and others are not. I guess the same thing could be said about Super Mario Brothers 3, but I feel like there was logic to it in Super Mario Brothers 3, because it was one of those where it's like, oh, it's a scrolling level. This is just how these things work. But in Chip and Dale, it's like some of the levels you couldn't go back left, and others you could.
Yeah, and I hate it. It's like you see the floor right below you, so you jump up on the next platform just like a few feet, but if you fall off, you're dead.
Yeah.
I that shit always frustrates me to no end. That's why I love Mega Man games, because no matter how far up you are, if you fall down, you're just going to fall down several screens. You're not going to one shot and be dead.
Which is weird, because this is a Capcom game. You'd think they could have just been like, let's just do the Mega Man thing.
Yeah.
There is a Mega Man-esque part of a level.
Fucking, where the
screws or whatever are coming
extend.
Out. Yeah.
But you can stand on the crates that they're sitting on top of. The crates don't fall down when the platform disappears.
I thought of you when I got to that point, because I was like, I wonder if Tyler's going to make it through this. Because I know you. I know your patience for disappearing and reappearing.
For that shit. Uh-huh. It took me three tries and
you
got
through
it.
You did better than me. So, I didn't realize that you could just keep pretty much just jumping straight up. I was trying to go from like one side to the other and plummeting to my death regularly.
So you just time it to jump up when they appear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also wanted to mention that this came out after Capcom's DuckTales video game.
Huh. Okay.
And this game, Rescue Rangers, was met with critical success and made a good amount of money, I think, especially for the time.
There are three of them.
Oh, yeah? I knew there was a second one. I didn't know there was a third one. So it warranted three sequels, or two sequels. DuckTales, we just got that one.
Oh, there's a DuckTales 2.
There's a fucking DuckTales 2?
It is an NES holy grail, but there's a DuckTales 2.
Is it any good?
I've never played it. I want to say there might be a DuckTales 3.
What
I don't know.
What the fuck? You are...
I'm positive there's a DuckTales 2.
You are scrogging my mind right now, my friend.
But like I'm on our game collecting, people will be like, holy shit, look what I found. And it's DuckTales 2.
Look what I found under a dumpster at Arby's. DuckTales 2.
DuckTales 2 and a Xbox 360 $400 in it.
Complete in box.
It's got the super rare Japanese blowjob attachment. Okay.
So compared to DuckTales, Tyler, what do you think?
This is better than DuckTales.
You're joking.
No, I like this better than DuckTales.
Are you're not joking?
I'm not joking.
You're really not joking?
DuckTales, I love the music in DuckTales, but DuckTales always bothered me because I feel like I was always like aimlessly wandering through DuckTales, not really knowing what to do. This game had more of a clear objective.
That is
and
true.
And I like that more.
Okay.
So that is why I enjoy this to DuckTales.
Wow, I legitimately thought you were fucking with me. I like DuckTales because I like the mechanics in DuckTales. I like the pogo jump, and I like hitting things with a cane.
The pure unrelenting capitalism that is the DuckTales world.
I mean, maybe. Because
I read somewhere about that, like, somebody had wrote a paper about how the DuckTales world was one of absolute pure capitalism, and how it had shaped the world, and how everybody's only pursuit was money, and you had to succeed to survive. There was no bailout. There was no people sharing. It was just all cut and dry greed.
They were talking about that on the Crack podcast a few episodes ago. They were talking about fiction that fans have written, but like, or not, I guess, head fiction, really. The secrets behind shows that fans have worked out. And that was one of them, about it being like Ayn Rand's DuckTales. Yes.
Fuck. I'm going to need to play, because I've never played DuckTales 2 or the other Chip and Dale's. So we're going to have to at least try those out.
I'm interested in DuckTales too. I don't know if I want to hang around for Chippendale 2.
2 and 3?
Definitely. 3 has got to be so bad. But I guess if we're going to do Darkwing Duck for the Game Boy, we have to play as many.
Well, you can see our Disney cartoon game series.
I think Capcom did a pretty good job, honestly, with the Disney, all the Disney characters. Yeah. I think they did a good job. I think it was really sad when those games stopped.
Yeah, well, whenever Capcom just stopped caring, that was sad when that happened.
That too.
Now it's just Resident Evil spinoffs and Street Fighter DLC that's fully priced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I'll buy.
Capcom.
I'll buy. I'm going to be there ready to pay my full retail price for Street Fighter V. I will. And when Super Street Fighter V comes out and they want the same amount of money, I'll probably be there right back in line to get it again. And then when they release Ultra Super Street Fighter V, I'll probably buy that too.
I'm ready for them to they release Street Fighter V and Ryu's not in it.
Oh, then I wouldn't play it.
So then it's buy Super Street Fighter V. We brought Ryu back for this one. So then, okay. Then everybody's we got to have Ryu, but there's no Akuma. So then you bring on that Akuma fan. Those people who are strictly in it for
that's a
Akuma.
Tadpog deep cut.
Yeah.
You've mentioned that a long ass time ago. The Akuma people.
Yeah, the straight, the mortal, Play Marvel vs. Capcom, they choose Akuma 3 times. Mm-hmm. Those guys.
Actually, I read a paper on the internet the other day that explained why, how Akuma appears in Street Fighter is a parallel to the Cuban Missile Crisis.
It's pretty good. Pretty good.
I didn't really read that, but I might write it now.
I've always said Ryu is he is my own personal Kennedy. I've always said that.
That's actually tattooed on my chest. It's JFK and Ryu throwing Hadouken at the same time.
And then you've got Sagat on a library far in the distance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of fun. I'm glad that we chose this game.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of...
So you get all the credit. So now that we've enjoyed ourselves,
yeah, what do you think about that? I'm gonna throw that back in your face, huh? This could have gone disastrously. Mm-hmm. Didn't you see me trying really hard over here? I've tried so hard on this episode. I desperately do not want another Leather Goddesses of Phobos. I never want that to happen again because I wasn't joking. I stayed off Facebook for that entire week. I just disappeared off the map because I didn't want to hear anyone's shit.
Well, one person said they liked it because they played the game.
that gave me hope.
If we could reach one person with every episode.
That person was the one that talked me off the ledge. They were just it's fine. I really enjoyed it. It was really good. It was fun. Please just come in. And I did. And now I'm back. If you were to give this game a beard, Tyler, mm-hmm. what kind of beard would you give it?
It is sort of a facial hair combo in that I would give it Indiana Jones's 5 o'clock shadow and Tom Selleck's mustache.
Okay.
Because Chip and Dale appear to be modeled after Indiana Jones and Magnum P.I.
Yes. Very, very good.
Yeah.
I like that. I thought you were going to give it a Lee Harvey Oswald something or other, but... Oh, well, maybe next time.
A Lee Harvey Oswald eye patch and chest scar. I think I'm mixing up my fiction. Anyway, he sat up there in those boxing trunks and did a tiger throw and killed Kennedy. That's how he did it, was with his chi, not actually a rifle.
Well, Lee Harvey Oswald was clearly a Muay Thai champion. We all know that. The history books don't say that, but...
The History Channel will probably back us up if you check that out.
Actually, the History Channel might.
I know.
That's hardly a joke. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
If you were to give this game a pair of glasses, mm-hmm. what kind of glasses would you give it?
I would have to give this another pair of similar childhood cartoon glasses, which I would give it the extending... binoculars of Inspector Gadget.
Okay. Okay.
Did he ever have a game?
AKA Jack Ruby.
Yeah. Did he ever have a game? Inspector Gadget?
Yes.
Or Jack Ruby, to either one of them.
Jack Ruby had, he had an assassin game where you just went around and killed all kinds of assassins. And there is an Inspector Gadget game. I can't remember what I played it on, but it was bad.
I believe it. I could see, like, you could either do, like, 90% chance you're going to make it terrible. But if you did it, like, just perfectly, there could be, like, an amazing Inspector Gadget game.
They're rebooting Inspector Gadget. Did you hear that?
No, I haven't.
Like, I think it's Netflix. Netflix is, like, rebooting Danger Mouse, which I'm actually legitimately excited about. Yeah. Inspector Gadget and some other shows.
See, I love that our generation, the early to mid-80s generation, is now old enough and powerful enough that we could be like, no, these cartoons were the best.
Right.
We're going to remake these.
Exactly.
All these things that we want to happen, they're going to happen now that we're actually, the gerontocracy has been overthrown, and we're going to make the shit that we want to make.
Yep.
Until we get too old, and now the kids come in and want to reboot Hannah Montana
right.
and the Angry Beavers and shit like that.
But then they'll get thrown out, and our kids will be like, no, we're bringing Danger Mouse back again.
No, Doc McStuffins is fucking coming back for her video game. People with young children will understand that reference.
I will in probably a couple months.
Mm-hmm, yep. Canada, I mean, she... Whatever we put on the TV, it can either be Elmo or it can be The Daily Show. It's all about the same to her. She'll still watch it and be okay.
Henry really enjoyed watching me play Rescue Rangers today. He actually got frustrated when Nikki blocked his view with a bottle.
Shit out of here. I want to know what these chipmunks are doing.
How did they get a TV in that tree?
All right. I just want to take a moment, Dave.
Okay. So sit right there.
I'll go ahead and I'll edit in and I'll cue up some music at this moment. Some nice.
What kind?
Like some Sarah McLachlan ASPCA, make you turn the channel when it comes on, kind of sad music.
Yeah, we don't want to do that, I don't think.
So, I mean, it's just appropriate.
Okay.
Because I feel right
Patrick
now.
Patrick Swayze died.
Because Patrick Swayze has died.
He and Annie Potts.
He and Annie Potts.
Had a suicide pact.
But I just want to raise awareness that people, you might not be aware of it, or you might be a victim of a horrible thing that I know one of my best friends, a deep personal friend of mine, Blake Wood, suffers from this.
Scroggy.
And I feel scroggy. That we just need to raise awareness of, it's a horrible thing that some people have to deal with. And it's an affliction where you have a family member, a close family member, that resembles an attractive porn star. And victims of this cannot jerk it to this attractive porn star because they look too much like a family member. I'm not going to say who the porn star is.
I think you should.
That his sister looks like.
I think you should. I mean, I'm legitimately curious, so I'm sure listeners are too.
I'll tell you after the show.
I know who it is.
Okay.
But I just really want you to say it on the microphones.
I feel like we'll get too many. He'll be bombarded with messages.
Like he's not already?
Who's your sister look like?
Exactly. You might as well just...
He'll get all these friend requests, people who want to look at his pictures to try and figure it out. But seriously, let's feel for these people.
It's a problem.
It's a horrible affliction.
How do we solve it?
Scientists are looking for a cure.
Yeah.
If you want to help us, if you want to help this, go to the Tadpog Patreon.
Oh, no, I don't want to donate. I don't want to donate to that.
No, we're the scientists.
Oh, okay. Right.
we're going to jerk it to various things and try to.
Blake's going to be
okay.
Really pleased about this. Blake, look, man, we're going to try to like help you out, but people are going to give us money and Tyler and I are going to jerk it. Is that cool?
I mean, like he tried to help us out with those million Facebook likes. So,
that is true.
There you go.
That is true.
We're helping him about as much as he helped us.
We got another Patreon pledge.
Yeah, we did.
Today from someone that I'm not familiar with on Facebook or Twitter.
I remember he left a 5-star review.
Oh, okay.
So I've heard of him from there. So Pilgrim Zero, thank you very, very much.
Hell yeah. I really like your profile photo on Patreon of, I assume, you and Slimer. It might just be a random person in Slimer, but I like to think it's you.
he just hangs out around that around Slimer and just takes pictures of all the people by Slimer.
I'm going to use this on the internet someday.
These are going to be all, I'm going to make all these Facebook accounts. And it's going to be all these different people with Slimer.
So thank you for pledging. We promise that we'll jerk it.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Or you'll get it wherever we know, feel like we have an appropriate title, totally give you a title.
Yeah. We could do something like about him taking photos of people next to Slimer. We could work that into a title.
Oh, okay.
But we probably shouldn't. We should probably give him a legitimate title. Huh?
He could be just be a huge fan of Slimer. So I'm going to assume number one Slimer fan.
But who isn't? Number one Slimer fan. I like it. Can I be number two?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Bill Murray is a distant number three.
Oh. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find us on iTunes or Stitcher. So don't miss the next episode. We should be talking about, what are we doing next week?
TOH? Is that up on the schedule? We don't know.
We don't know.
We have no idea.
It's on a schedule. I just can't remember what it is at the moment. But there will be a show next week.
Probably.
I promise.
Probably.
Unless one of us dies, in which case we'll have to quickly fashion a facsimile.
Man. Speaking of almost dying, I got really nervous when I pulled in your driveway today because as I did it, the porch light over at Hover Round Shotgun Palace turned on, and I thought they were coming out. I really did. But no, they're just...
He's back again!
Look, his handle's all blown up.
That fancy fuck. He probably tried to steal that car, fucking shoot him.
But no,
that's why he wanted to park it in our driveway, because he stole it and wanted to hide it from the cops. Shoot him.
They were just moving boxes out of the garage.
Okay.
Or so they wanted it to appear.
Oh, so that'll be next week. And we're also available on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. What the fuck am I? I don't even know what I'm doing anymore.
I don't know. What are you doing?
But I should also mention, I forgot what I was. I was like, I need to mention this. And then I remembered to mention it and forgot what I was going to mention.
I'm sure you'll remember it immediately after we're done recording.
After it's too late, I'll remember it. But iTunes is still the biggest marketplace for us. So it helps us out if you give us a 5-star written review.
Like it or not. It
so
is
much. If you want me to watch Star Wars and then talk about an occult podcast, you know, we need those 5-star reviews.
We're doing that, Nicole, by the way.
Yep. And so we try to further incentivize it. So in that 5-star written review, if there's a game you want us to play or a host you want on a certain episode, throw it in there. And we're working on the eventually list now, and we'll just tack that in. We'll throw it on the bottom there.
Yep.
So I've already said that. So really, help us out.
This is
and
cute.
And we promise. hooch.
This is really cute.
And we promise that we will get to it.
Eventually. That was adorable. I feel like.
Shut down the podcast. I can't talk anymore. I've hit my word limit.
Well, look, you had a really good intro story. I feel like you had a good run. This is your victory lap.
Now,
this is your victory lap, buddy.
I'm that marathon person who just like shits themselves and just collapses right before the finish line.
Like Tyler said, guys, thanks for listening. We do appreciate it. I'm sorry if we shit on your childhood a little bit. If it makes you feel any better, it was also my childhood and Tyler's childhood. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it just got everywhere. I'm sorry. In the meantime,
just don't view childlike things through the eyes of an adult. Shit gets weird.
Don't ever do it. Unless it's the Goonies, and that holds up, in my opinion.
Yeah. Sick at breakfast agrees.
In the meantime, you can always find us on tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. You can find us on Facebook. We are at facebook.com/tadpog. There's a lot of cool people there doing a lot of cool shit. If you have any feedback specific to this episode, feel free to post it there. We're on Twitter. We are at tadpog_podcast. It's cumbersome, I realize. Thank you to everybody who is favoriting our tweets, retweeting our tweets about new episode releases, and just generally tweeting at us. I really appreciate that. We're on SoundCloud. Mm-hmm. Talked about that. Mm-hmm. That's where all our back episodes are. I want to mention something we haven't talked about in a long time, and it's just kind of grown by itself, weirdly, and that's the Steam group.
Yeah.
Well, you've got like 54 members in there now.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy because I feel like we never actively recruited and probably just mentioned it twice on the show.
We just talk about our Steam library.
That's awesome. I love that because I looked the other day when I was playing Shadowrun and I was like, goddamn, we have like 54 members in our Steam. Like, we should do something with these people sometime. Unfortunately, I feel like we don't play any games that other people could play with.
We did the Binding of Isaac that was requested on Steam. I think that's the only time we've delved into the Steam list.
Well, I mean like a multiplayer game that like a whole bunch of Tadpog group could jump in and play together.
Yeah, because I mean, Blood Bowl is the closest thing.
Yeah, and that's a limited group.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting on my game. I'm still waiting. So, Sean, if you're listening, I sent you an email about the game. Just reply back. Just hit reply and tell me when's good for you.
Because Blake was very excited to bring up Oathbreaker again. Very excited for this Blood Bowl game. And then he was playing a match, rage quit so hard he uninstalled the game and shut off his computer. So that's why he's no longer participating.
That might happen to me. Updates to follow.
Our phone number?
Our phone number, Tyler, is 270-883-2555. If you have a question for us, or if you just want to say something nice, feel free to call that number and leave us a voicemail. Mm-hmm. You can also text that number if you like, although I pretty much guarantee you I will fuck up reading it. So,
because we've blown through a lot of calls recently, so yeah. our huge stockpile is not what it once was. So
it'll come back.
Please give us a call. Let us know.
Yeah, it's just low tide right now. It'll come back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Our Twitter, whatever the kids are doing nowadays.
Done did it, Tyler.
Yeah,
got it covered.
Okay, our theme song.
It's Moves. That is by Sycamore Drive.
Okay.
A link to that track can be found in the show notes at tadpog.com. You're still trying to remember that thing that you remembered and then forgot.
It was asking people to call us.
Oh, okay. Well, good. You got it.
So, yeah, you reminded me. It's good. It's good now.
How do you want to close it?
Ooh.
We can close it like chipmunks.
You want to try to do our best Chip and Dale, like you be Chip, I be Dale, and we try to close it out?
I mean, I feel like that will be disastrous. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, let's do it.
Okay. So I gotta try to figure a way to make Dale not sound like Josh Nance. Make him sound like a high-pitched Josh Nance, which is automatically where my mind went. And I don't want to do that.
You don't want to know what girl Josh sounds like?
Well, I know what girl Josh sounds like. I've known him long enough where we went through the experimental phase.
This is also during your OJ phase. It was weird. You kept calling him Nicole.
Oh, fuck. She got real dark for us all for a little while.
It got really weird for Nicole, because Nicole Nance, because she thought we were referencing her.
Because she was six at the time.
Because she was Kato.
So until next time.
Tropical
Capricorn. Oh, my God.
Kato was involved in that, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Kato Kaelin.
Because I kind of get him confused with Greg Kinnear sometimes. And also Kano from Mortal Kombat 1.